I'm ready. Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I think when I'm finished, more of you are going to be interested in being a host home. At least I'm hoping that. Luke chapter 10, begin reading with verse 25. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. And here's how it reads in the NIV. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I have another translation here. An expert in the law stood up and asked Jesus a question to see what he would say. And of course, his question was, what should I do to live forever? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? And the lawyer replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He gave a good answer. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. This is absolutely right. So you know the truth. You know exactly what it takes to inherit eternal life. But he said, it's not enough simply to know. It's not enough to have the information. He said, this do, and you shall live. And there's an awful lot of people got the right information. They know what to do. If you ask most people in this congregation or any other congregation, and often I think a lot of people that are not even in a congregation of believers, what do you think you would have to do to inherit eternal life? They might be able to give you a fairly decent answer. And this person knew exactly what to do because he said, here's what I believe the Bible teaches, or what the law teaches. The law says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, right. You're correct. You've got it. Now do this, and you'll live. Amen. Do this, and you'll live. There's something to do, Jesus said. And here's another translation of those verses. But the man wanted to prove that he was all right, so he asked, who is my neighbor? Another translation says, looking for a loophole, he asked. This is the message. Looking for a loophole, he asked, and just how would you define neighbor? Sounds like Bill Clinton. Just how would you define neighbor? Looking for a loophole, he said. There's a lot of people looking for a loophole. They're looking for a way to go around exactly what Jesus said. And it's not just lawyers that do this. Lawyers are good at it. They get paid for looking for loopholes in the contract. And if they can find the loophole in the contract, then they make the contract invalid. Amen. And this lawyer was looking for a loophole. He was looking for a way around it. But it's pretty hard. It's pretty clear what Jesus said. Who is my neighbor? That's what he asked. But the man, wanting to show that he knew what he was talking about, asked Jesus, who are my neighbors? And to this Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. Now, here's one translation. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Another translation says, luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. I don't know how he could have said luckily that, because that priest didn't do a thing. He was supposed to be a man of God, but he didn't have anything to do for this person. He says that luckily a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, Scripture said, he angled across the road. He's off over here. He angled across here. This is where a lot of people do when they see somebody in need. They just angle across. Oh, they see him over there. But they don't have time to do anything. They don't see anything that causes them. Their heart's not touched with that at all. So a person who just has a hard heart, when they see somebody in need, and Jesus was trying to explain to this man, who is my neighbor? He's answering that question. Who are my neighbors? And Jesus was saying, well, here's a man in need of help. And he said, there was a priest went by and he did nothing. There was a Levite went by and he did nothing. And here came another person by. And one of the translations says, then, he said, a despised Samaritan came along. Because Samaritans were despised by the Jews. They were despised by the religious crowd of that day. They weren't looked upon as equals at all. But a despised Samaritan came along the same road, and the Scripture said he had pity on this man. He saw him in his need. He saw his problem, and he immediately began to do something about it. He didn't just saunter off or angle off a different direction. He got right down off of his horse, or his mule, or whatever it was he was riding, his donkey, and he started ministering to this man. Because the Scripture said he was half dead. That's where the world is today. They're half dead. They're alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. Your neighbors are alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. Therefore, they are half dead. And if somebody don't help them, they are not going to make it. Somebody has got to help them through the problem that they're in. And Jesus said, the one who does that, well, he didn't say that. He asked the man, he said, who would you say of the three that I've described, which one of the three would you call a neighbor? And the man said, oh, that's not hard. It's the one who got off of his donkey and got down and helped this guy. That's who the neighbor was. And Jesus said, well, that's a good answer. And then the injunction, do it. That's what you have to do to be a good neighbor. And the question was, how do I receive eternal life? How can I live forever? And Jesus said, you can live forever if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Your half-dead neighbor, you've got to love and do something for. Do something about the condition they're in. You cannot love God with all your heart and not love your neighbor. Because when you love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength, you want to express that love. And the only way you can express it is toward others. Amen. You only can show your love for God by what you do for those around you. And in fact, that's what John said, 1 John chapter 4, I think it is, verse maybe about verse 10. You cannot love God with all your heart and not love your neighbor. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's a good question. Somebody says, well, that says you've got to love your brothers. That doesn't say anything about neighbors. It says brothers, love your brother. Well, that neighbor may be a brother. Amen. And if the neighbor is a brother, you got to love him. And if he's not a brother, you ought to love him anyway. Because we're commanded to love as Jesus loved. We reach out to our neighbors. We reach out to... But listen, we don't do that. We don't even know their name. We don't love our neighbors. They're half dead. They're half dead, but we don't do anything about it. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother, the message says, or his sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt, the message says. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Your brothers, and you've got to love people as well. Amen. You got to do that. And the only way that we can express that love is to reach out. That's what this 40 days of purpose is all about. We're calling it Love Your Neighbor Spring Campaign. The Love Your Neighbor, because if all we do is make a nice little effort to reach our own people, then we have accomplished essentially nothing. Amen. We got to reach our neighbors. Why? Because they're half dead. Well, some of them are. Maybe not every one of them. But how are you going to know whether or not they're dead or alive until you check? You might need to check their pulse. Find out their spiritual pulse I'm talking about. Because some people that you might think is alive may in fact be half dead. Alive physically, but dead spiritually. And that's where the vast majority of people are today in America. And I have the feeling a lot of them right here in Fort Worth are half dead. But after this 40 days, I believe there's going to be a lot of them that are half dead right now that are going to be alive and well when this is all over. Hallelujah. And that will to a great extent depend on whether or not you and I are willing to be what we have the ability to be if we have the willingness to be. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, we're looking for 200 host homes. I think this morning in both services, we probably had about 60 host homes. I'm going to judge by just looking at the number of hands that went up. I'd say we had about 60 host homes. We're going to have 200. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm going to press you. Amen. I'm going to press you to be. Listen, there are going to be other churches involved with us. Amen. Little churches that may not feel they can do this by themselves, but they're going to work with us, and we're going to, together, we're going to see 200 host homes. And we're going to see 2,000 people touched by the Lord through this effort that we're going to put forth. We're going to be good neighbors. My nose keeps itching, so that's why I'm doing that, you know. Someone may be saying something like, you know, I don't know. You see, when the Lord said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as, when he said that, that was not a suggestion. right? No, that was not an option. No, he said, do it. Do it. Love your neighbor. Listen, somebody says, well, now love is an emotion, and you either do or you don't. And because it is an emotion, then if I don't love somebody, I just simply don't love them. No, love is a choice. Amen. Amen. And if it weren't, we wouldn't have the command to do it. God wouldn't command something that a person doesn't have the ability to do. We have the ability, and by making right choices and following through with the decision we've made, we can reach out to our half-dead neighbors and invite them into our homes to see something that answers a question that many of them have had and never had an answer to, and that is, why on earth am I here? The whole thing, that's what it's all about. The whole 6 weeks. Listen, we're just talking about 6 weeks. Well, I can stand on my head for 6 weeks. We're not talking about forever. We're talking about open up your home for 6 weeks and inviting your neighbors. I want to hear somebody say, we can do that. We can do that. I want to hear that. We can do that. That's kind of weak. I want to hear that. Let's hear it over here. This is the biggest bunch. I want to hear it. I just heard the ones here on front. What about those way back there? I want to hear you. You need somebody to lead you. I'm going to lead you this time. Let's say, we can do that. How about right here? Let's say it right here. We can do that. How about this group right here? It's getting a little bit better. Let's hear it over on this side. Let's say, we can do that. Oh, that's better. That's a lot better. What about this group? We can do that. You know which was the loudest ones last time in the first service? It was this little group over on this side. Let's hear it. Let's hear this group say,
we can do that.
Now, again, I'm going to say what I've said before. If we can, we must. Did I say it loud enough for you to hear that? I've adjusted my microphone now. I'm going to say it a little bit louder so no one goes away with any question about this. If we can, we must. Why do I say that? Now, what do you believe about the other side of death? Because we're all going to die. Have you faced that situation yet? No, we're alive, but we will all die eventually. Some of us sooner than others. What's on the other side of death? For the Christian. What's on the other side of death for the Christian?
Paradise.
Paradise. Heaven. What's on the other side of death? It's paradise. Amen. That's on the other side of death for the Christian. But what's on the other side of death for one who is not a Christian? We don't even want to say it, do we? We don't like to think about it because it's not good. It's not a good thing. What's on the other side of death is not good for that person who is not loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his neighbor as himself. Not going to be good for that person. Now, I've got another word to say about that. If in fact If in fact I believe that on the other side of death there is an eternal fire awaiting my half-dead neighbors, and I put forth no effort when I had opportunity to do so. I put forth little or no effort to do anything about it. What kind of Christian am I? Am I trying to make everyone feel good? No, no. But I don't want to put everybody under condemnation either. But I can say this, that we have an opportunity to get involved in a mission that has the potential to change the place where people go on the other side of death. Our neighbors are dying. We don't know it unless we see a funeral car pull up at the house, because we don't know our neighbors. We're not that concerned about them. George Barna said 74% of the American people cannot tell you the name of their closest neighbor. Can you? My. How quiet it is in this place. I know I've got to tell a joke or something, because we can't let people go out if they're under a heavy load. No, I just want you to think. Are you thinking? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm thinking. I'm thinking. I'm thinking. I need to get involved in this 40 days of purpose. I need to get involved in it. Turn to somebody and say, I need to get involved in this. Because we got neighbors half dead that may spend eternity somewhere that we don't even want to talk about. We don't like to think about it. But we can do something. Amen. We can do something about it. And if we can, we must. Well, I can see some of you running to the table now to get a form and say, I've got it now. I'm under conviction now. I'm going to have... Listen, Gary will be... He'll be talking to you, and David will be talking to you. First thing you know, Brother Parkey will be talking to you. I'm going to be laying my hands on... My wife and I decided to have two. One daytime and one night. Amen. We're going to have two groups in our house. Because, listen, you may have one in your business. You may have one in your home. Amen. Because you don't have to teach. All you got to do is just punch in the tape. And punch the button, if you can figure out which button. Amen. That's all. It's not a big deal. And we, through such little effort, only 6 weeks, may be able, in the case of not a few, I'm convinced, not a few. I'm praying for 800 souls to be saved during this time. I'm praying for 800 souls. Hallelujah. I'm praying to baptize 100 people after this is over. Amen. People that have never been baptized. Amen. That's what I'm praying for. I want you to start praying with me on that. Somebody say out loud, Pastor, I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray with you about this. We're going to see something happen here. We're going to see some people saved. Hallelujah. See their lives changed. They're not going to be half dead anymore. They're going to be fully alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.